Colorado Springs City Council District 1 candidate Greg Basham, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your background. Let folks know who you are.
Sure. So lived in this community for about 6 years on the Front Range since the late 80s. Married 25 years to my wife, Chris, 2 children. I'm a local businessman. I work at Champion Windows here in town. Been with them up in Fort Collins in advance of coming down here to run the Colorado Springs store.
Excellent. And why did you decide to run for City Council District 1?
Sure. It's kind of a three-tier answer. First, you know, when you look back, our founding fathers who wrote our Constitution, which to me is the greatest piece of paper ever written, were very clear in that if we didn't, as citizens, as business people, step up and serve voluntarily, we would end up with full-time politicians in every level, and that would not work. So that's called me for many, many years. Right now, that fits in. My kids are grown. My son's 24. He's currently serving in the Navy. He's stable. He's on his own. My daughter's a senior at CU Boulder. She's ready. You know, so my wife and I are in a far more comfortable position for me to step out and give that kind of time. And that's really important, too. The timing's right from the sense of right now, I look at it. And so many times in life, you have that great idea or you have some money, but you don't have it all to have this package together. And when I look at Colorado Springs, we have it right now. And it's going to be one of the most exciting couple of years in our city in a very long time. We have a phenomenal leader in Mayor Southers. Just great leadership there. I think that matters. We have Dirk Draper over the chamber putting plans together that I believe really have thought out all the issues that we face, the challenges we face, and has put together a plan that I think can pull Colorado Springs very, very far as far as improving our economy. The economy showing signs of improving. As business people, we've seen the last several months, maybe a year, and we're seeing those signs. So when you put all those together, It's wow. You know, it's exciting. I'm really excited to see our city come to this. And I think it's important that we take advantage of that. You know, the recession's been hard on our city, more so than a lot of the other Front Range cities. And, you know, I say we came to that party early and we left late. And as someone who's lived on the Front Range for, you know, nearly 30 years, I've talked to folks in Fort Collins in Denver, and they've been booming for years. It's been a little frustrating. It's time for us to get in there, and we need to act. We need some common-sense business people in our city council who can support the mayor, who can support the chamber in these moves, and do it in a business fashion quickly, responsibly, but within a time frame that allows us to capture. If we miss this opportunity over the course of the next couple of years, we're going to regret it. We will look back at these next 2 years, and we'll either have prospered at one of the highest levels we have in many years, or we're going to look back and say, we truly missed our opportunity. And I want to be part of that. That's exciting to me.
How would you characterize District 1?
You know, forgive me. I'm not sure what you mean. How would I care? You mean the people or?
Well, that was sort of my next question also is who are the core constituencies? So how would you categorize sort of the place that you live and the people who are there?
Sure. Well, you know, I've lived in that same area the entire time I've been in Colorado Springs. And when I talk to my neighbors and fellow business people in there, my business is also in District 1. So it's a big part to me. When I talk to those folks, you know, they're like everyone else in this city. They are looking for a place where when their kids finish school, they're going to have a job. You know, we all want our kids. My kids are grown. I'd love to have them in my same city. I want to see my grandkids every day. At the end of the day, we want a city that's going to attract and retain our youth. We want it to be safe. We care about our schools. We care about our police. We want to see the economy grow so that when our kids are ready to get a job, there's a job there for them. And I think my district, like all the other districts, that's what everyone's looking for in this city.
What do you see as the biggest issues facing your district?
The biggest issue facing my district is, again, the biggest issue facing this whole city. We need to grow this economy. Jobs are important to us. Our people are leaving this city. Now, we've got a few back lately, but people have been leaving this city. When we look at the struggles business people face right now, they can't find enough people to hire. I'm short in people in my office. I talk to other business leaders, and they can't find enough people right now. We need to bring those people back. We can't do that if we don't have the jobs here available. And right now, we have several jobs available for them, but it hasn't been a trend. So we need to grow this economy. We need to diversify this economy. Everyone wants to grow it. The big thing we need to focus on is not just growing it, but diversifying. So we're attracting someone who maybe isn't a DOD or DOD subcontractor type person. We need to have a greater range of jobs. That'll protect us also. You know, when our federal government misbehaves, and they do, it doesn't matter who's in charge. If they have a spat up there, it trickles down to Colorado Springs. You know, I've heard estimates as high as 52% and as low as 47, 48% of the money that goes through this city is touched in some way by the DOD or DOD subcontractors. 40% of the labor is DOD or DOD subcontractors. That's too heavily reliant on one industry. I don't want to shrink it. We love them. They've been great to our city. Let's keep them every bit as big as they are and maybe even grow them too. But we need to grow outside of that. We need to reach out for different companies, new industry that will excite our youth and keep them here in town.
What do you see in terms of job growth and diversifying that economy? What industries do you see as being attractive for Colorado Springs to court, and how do you plan on doing that?
So one of the things I think we need to stay out of in city council is that part of it. We need to let the mayor, the chamber, go after that. When we get the city council involved, we muddy the waters. We're there to approve and do things that we're the litmus test of what they bring to us. We need to stay out of that aspect of it. That's the job of other people. That's the job of our mayor. That's the job of the staff. That's the job of the chamber. And every time our council gets involved, we muddy that water. We slow that process down. They're there to go out and search and get those jobs. You know, obviously we're seeing a lot of cybersecurity coming our way. That's exciting. But that role, I think, really belongs in other people's hands, and we muddy the water when we touch it.
Can you be a little bit more specific then in terms of what you do see your role as city council as being?
Sure. So city council, I think we're presented with regulations. We're there to say, let me give you an example, a specific example, though, and how we could affect it. So city council, people want affordable housing. You know, what role do we play in that, and where do we do it? You know, we're there to say, what's making it cost so much that we can't build affordable housing? And what are we doing? What's our role as far as passing regulations or getting rid of regulations? So you take affordable housing. Let's go out and define it. Let's go to the realtors who sell homes, who are in that. Those are the experts. We go to them and we say, what band of income are people unable to buy a home? You know, the folks making $200,000 a year can afford a home. Where's the band that they can't? And just for sake of argument, let's say they say it's between $60,000 and $85,000 household income. Those folks are the ones struggling to buy a home. Let's go to the mortgage company next and say, hey, what can someone who makes $60,000 to $85,000, you know, we want to be in that 25 to 30% of their income so that they're not strapped on their home, they're not house poor. What has home does that build? Let's go to the home builders. What would it take to build a home in this range? Now, when you have that information, you go to city council and you say, what can we do about zoning for this? What can we do about regulation for this? How do we move things in and out of their way so they can make that call? That's our role. It's not to make those judgments as to the other parts of it. We're not using experts. City council has many times gotten in every one of those steps, and that's not where we belong. We're there once that's presented to us to say, here's the regulations that the experts are saying are slowing them down. Can we remove those or no, we can't? We should keep those in because they're too important, and that's where our role is.
Mm-hmm. You know, Colorado Springs District 1 is predominantly the district that was affected during the Waldo Canyon fire. Mm-hmm. And at the time that the fire chief at the time said that that Colorado Springs specifically is perhaps the most threatened city in the country in terms of the wildland-urban interface, in terms of the fires. Do you think that Colorado Springs is doing enough to mitigate that risk?
No, we need to address our first responders of every level, police, fire. We've been underfunded for years. You know, the recession, you take recession, you take our Tabor, which is not knocking Tabor, but when you put the two together, especially since we have a Tabor city-wise and state-wise, that ratchet sometimes in a very challenging fashion. Don't want to get rid of those. Just saying that they challenge us, especially during a recession. And so these last several years, we've underfunded many of our things. The police and fire are huge aspects of that. We need to grow this economy because that's the only way to fix those things. So everyone says, why do we always go back to that? Well, with the way we're set up for our laws, if we don't grow, we don't get to fix those things. They don't happen without money. You know, you look at, you say, oh, a police officer, what's that cost? That costs a lot of money because you have a car, you have support, you have all the things. It's not just, you know, hey, let's pay this man or woman $50,000, $60,000 or whatever. It's a lot of other expenses. These things cost a lot of money. We need to get money there. We need to fix some of our infrastructure first. And the moment we do that, that has to be absolutely next. When you're running police department of 14 for every 10,000 citizens, similar to the crisis, our fire department needing more resources, that's not acceptable. That's not going to draw business to us. When we go out and say, hey, come to our city, and they're saying you don't have enough police, your fire department says they don't have enough resources, that's not going to attract business. So that's part of attracting the business, getting those things up. And that has to be right there at the top of the list to get that money there. Again, with the way our laws are set up, if we don't grow the economy, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this tax base a little bit in terms of the predominant taxes for residents. It comes through sales and property taxes. And I'm wondering how do you feel about the balance between property taxes and sales taxes in terms of generating revenue for the city?
So we've used sales tax many times in the past to help us out to see recently, and we have that flexibility. It's a great flexibility to have. What we have to do is be sure we're using it responsibly. And I think one of the biggest complaints I've heard about it isn't that people aren't willing to pay that tax. It's that there have been times in the past where we didn't spend the tax on what we promised we were going to do. So I think as city council members, we don't make the judgment of what's happening, but we have to be the people to approve that tax. And when we do that, we own a part of that, and we're going to have to live to spending it on what we promised. And not just spending on what we promised, notifying the people. You know, you look at this 2C, I completely support 2C. But how about if we make it really easy for people to see where that money's going? Maybe put a great website out there. There's things to see right now, but some people aren't accessing. So maybe we need to do a little public work where people who aren't going online to see it get a feel for what we're doing and what the plan is. I think people are always more comfortable when you inform them. Property tax, we have very low property tax, and people here stand strong on that. It's a touchy issue. We have a very low property tax, and that brings some struggles. I will say this. If we don't fix our problems locally, then we rely on the federal government. That's not what we want to be. You know, we can either fix these by raising money locally, or we're going to wait and wait, and then the federal government's going to step in with their grant or their money, which is never as effective. We need to address these things locally, and those are two ways to do it.
You mentioned Tabor and the ratchet down effect, and one of the implications of the ratchet down effect is that it becomes a challenge for the city to recover from a recession. How do you feel about the ratchet down effect? Does there need to be alterations? How do we as a city prepare for the next recession, for when it comes, whenever that may be?
Right. Surpluses are a no-no, you know. So Tabor is a great – I like Tabor. And Tabor has some positive effects. One of the challenges we face isn't just Tabor, though. It's that we have a city Tabor and a state Tabor, and that can be really challenging. I think we need to look at reevaluate Tabor only in the sense of there's some great aspects of it, but perhaps we could put, you know, if you're selling stocks, you have a sell at this high because it's high enough to sell, and you have, hey, it's so low, sell immediately so I don't lose any more money. Maybe we could do that with Tabor. I don't know. That's something someone else would have to propose. That's not my expertise, but it does seem Like we could put some boundaries on it. You know, when we get an economy that stimulates us above a certain level, maybe we can say, hey, let's put a – we can save a little at that time. And when it goes below a certain level, when we can't fund necessary things like our roads get so bad it costs us even more money, when our police department is not at the level that is deemed safe, we can still protect to minimum standards, you know, and just – touch it that way. Don't want to get rid of it. I want to be very clear. I'm a supporter of Tabor. It has too many positives, you know. But I think there could be some boundaries on it, especially because we have a state and a city.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mayor Suthers consistently brings up the fact that Colorado Springs is the 40th biggest city in the country. And then he says, and we need to act like that. What does that mean to you and to act like the 40th biggest city?
You know, I think it's to have the resources. You know, you're the 40th biggest city. We let our roads go. We need to respond to that quicker. We're the 40th biggest city. What are we doing about stormwater? Show me the top 39 that doesn't have their stormwater addressed. We need to address those issues. And I think that's what he's talking about. I certainly don't want to speak for the man. He's smarter than I am. But those are the kind of things I take away from it. You know, we have a stormwater issue facing us right now that has not been addressed. We have a plan for it, but we need to address it. Right now, our mayor is asking to keep the extra money from the tax surplus, right? But it has to be voted on. We need to do things like that. I think if I were saying, and again, he does not consult me on these things. I don't want to speak for him. But that's what I think he's talking about. And those are important things. Because if we don't fix stormwater, and which is a great issue on this, the EPA is already about to fine us. And they're not going to say, hey, next fine, you get a discount for buying two. Right? That next fine is going to be even worse. If we don't take this approximately 6 million, there's 10 to 12 million of reserve surplus. If we don't take roughly 6 million of it and put it towards that, how do we not get out of this fine? You know, when we go to the EPA and say, look what we're doing, hey, perhaps instead of having that fine, they let us put it into capital expenditures and it's a win, right? Either way, we're going to spend that money. We need to do things like that. The next fine will be even bigger. And another thing people I don't think realize is if the EPA starts fining us, they also will come to a point where they decide what our roadmap to fix this problem is. And if you think it's expensive to fix it locally, wait till your federal government comes up with a plan. It'll, you know, double down on that expense plus the fines.
Is it correct then to say that you are in support of the Tabor retention question on the ballot?
Yes.
Okay. So what is, when you think about Colorado Springs 20, 30 years down the line, what's your vision for the city?
You know, if I had a vision for the city, and maybe not even that far out, it's that as parents, we've done it such a good job that our kids start staying. It's simple. That's the litmus test to me. You know, if our kids start staying, we get to watch our grandkids. You know, that's my selfish part of it. But the reality is it says so many other things. You know, when they get out of high school, when they get out of college, that there's so much to do here, that we've made the city fun and exciting for them, that it's got the culture that they want to be part of, that it has the job that they need to stay, that it has the affordable housing for them to buy their first home, right? We're established. I'm an old guy, right? And so I can afford to buy that home here in this town. But when I was 24 years old, I can't even imagine what it would have been to buy a home in this city as my first home. So I want to address those issues so we retain those and attract, you know, that would be a great. Another thing I'd love to see the Department of Defense every bit as big of our community as it is today, but instead of being 50%, let's make it 35%. Again, not shrinking them, but having so much diversity in our economy that they're every bit as big, but a smaller percentage of our city. That would be exciting. I think that would be great. I would think that we've done such an intelligent job in the development of the city that instead of when we say the word developer, people have that negative overtone. I think our leaders have misrepresented that, that people say, thank you. You know, we sit there and we go, we think of the local developers in the city and we think, wow, what a great group of people. We allowed the right people to develop us. And I want to say thank you. And that would be an exciting feel. I think those are the kind of sort of big picture things that say we did it right. You know, listing every detail that we want to do over the next couple of years would be a near impossibility. But I think if all those things were true, everything we wanted from both sides would be accomplished, and that'd be pretty exciting.
Well, you're talking about development. I think that there's a question in terms of pretty much the only way that Colorado Springs can really develop is either on the east side, the north side, or infill. And what do you see as where the attention needs to be paid?
Sure. There has to be a balance. We all know that. You can't grow only one spot. You know, you have infill, greenfill, the outside fill, right? So when you're looking at it, the advantage to infill is it supports all the things we just talked about. When you infill, you don't have to build additional resources. We use the resources, and that's oversimplifying it. But it every time we infill, it goes to that tax base. It pays for one more police officer. It pays for more resources for the fire department. It fixes our parks. It maintains our parks. It allows us to do things. When you greenfill, it stresses those. We need greenfill because you can't grow without some greenfill. But that balance is so important. So we want to focus that for all the greenfill that we might need to do to grow this city, we're responsibly infilling to help with that. And that infill should be our priority. If we're not doing that, we're gonna have the same problem. It's almost like you're borrowing money to get out of debt at that point. And 10 years from now, we'll be in the same problem, but the check we have to write's bigger. So we need to infill.
Now, every single district seat on city council is up for election, and I'm wondering where in the last term city council where did they fall short?
Well. We have some great people on city council. If we could have improved somewhere, and I'd rather say how we could improve, I don't know that I would say they fell short. That's not a fair assessment. Where we could have done better is we're too slow to go through the process. When a decision comes and sits in front of us and our leaders have brought it to us, our city staff has investigated for months or years and present it to us, and then we feel the need as city council to revamp the entire thing and use our own private resources to reinvestigate things and to spend even more of that city staff's time, exorbitantly so, we slow the process down. It costs money. It costs time. And we miss those opportunities. You know, I was talking about the next couple of years. We have a window coming here, and that window could last 5 years. I'm not a predictor of that. But the reality is the only thing we can count on as we look at an economy, as you forecast, is the next 2 years. We need to move faster. That doesn't mean irresponsibly. That doesn't mean investing. But trust the resources that we have in place. If you've met the city staff, Jeff Green working for the mayor, the entire city, these are amazingly intelligent and well-informed people. We need to trust when they bring us information and make decisions. And I think we've been slow in that department.
Mm-hmm. And finally, just sort of a summary, why should someone in District 1 vote for you?
You know, I think I bring a business side common sense that is needed. That doesn't mean there aren't people already there that have great common sense in doing things. There's a balance that we could use. And I think a little more private sector business would be healthy for our city council. When we have two sides, right now we act like politicians. We bang heads and we don't get a lot done. Sometimes the two sides, there's one issue that they don't agree on, but there's three or four really core things we all agree on. You know, there are just certain things we all want for our children, we all want for our community. And it seems in the politics of it, we don't get those done because we can't agree on one other issue. We're arguing over something. I won't be that person. I'll bring those people to the table, and we're going to accomplish the three things we can agree on, and then take and bring in the other side in advance of coming to a decision. It seems so often we come up with a plan, we present it, and then the other side gets to react to it, and that's too late. Let's bring that other side, you know, the community that maybe that building's going to affect in earlier, or an issue that, you know, our conservatives versus our liberals, you know, bring the other side in a little earlier. Let them be incorporated into that, and we'll have less negative feelings about it. We'll probably end up with a better plan overall. It'll cost less, and it'll happen quicker, because when we wait so long, it just causes this conflict. We don't do that in business. And so I think that'll be a fresh look at things that could be very helpful.
Excellent. Well, Greg Basham, candidate for Colorado Springs City Council, District 1. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.